Hi out there, all you college football fans. Thanks for choosing the Fifth Quarter podcast. I'm your host, John Chomo. This week, we will look at week eight, a very busy, very frantic week eight of the college football season as we kind of hit the midway point and start steaming toward the end of the year, believe it or not. We'll then look at some other issues in the sport. We're going to take a look at the undefeated teams left in the Power Four, the biggest Power Four disappointments, in my opinion, of the season so far. And a couple of other questions. Then we'll turn our attention to week nine, which begins early again this coming week, and some local games, some other big, there's several big games I have written down here to look at in week nine. As the season kind of narrows down a little bit and you know who's in contention, there are a lot of games that stand out. And then we'll make our weekly four picks, try to make some predictions. We've got a winning record, although this past week wasn't as good as some of the recent ones. But we'll go out there and put ourselves on the line for some picks. Okay, first off, week eight started off in earnest on Friday evening in Provo, Utah. BYU hosted Oklahoma State and pulled another rabbit out of their hat with a 38-35 last-minute win, a 30-some-yard touchdown pass with about 35 seconds to go. Gave BYU the win over Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, who was a very popular pick to at least make the Big 12 title game, is now 0-4 in conference play. That's one of the major disappointments, I would say, of the season so far. Has to be. Meanwhile, BYU, one of the great surprises of this college football season, still undefeated. Their rival, who they play in 2 or 3 weeks, Utah, is struggling. They may be on their way to at least a berth in the Big 12 championship game and a possible playoff spot. That would be an amazing story this year. We'll see. A few games to go here. Indiana hosted Nebraska on Big Noon on Fox. Indiana undefeated. Nebraska with an overtime loss to Illinois, their only blemish. Nebraska has not beaten a ranked team since 2016. Week three of the 2016 season, they beat number 22, Oregon, and they still haven't beaten a ranked team since 2016. Indiana laid the wood to them, 56-7. It was ugly, unless you're an Indiana fan. And it was one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen football-wise, I suppose. Nebraska has now lost 28 straight games against ranked opponents. And in my humble opinion, they're looking right square in the eyes at number 29 this coming weekend as they travel to Columbus, Ohio. That you know, doesn't look so good now that they laid an egg in Indiana. We'll see. Buckeyes better be ready, but I don't look for Nebraska to break that streak this coming week. Army and Navy continue their amazing seasons. They are both still undefeated. It's late October. The last time Army and Navy were both undefeated in late October was 1926, almost 100 years ago. Here's a great fact for you. Indiana, who we just mentioned, and Army have not trailed for 1 second in any game this season. They're the only two teams in the country you can say that about. They have not been behind in any football game all season long. That's crazy, but true. Moving on, it was a great day in Champaign, Illinois. Everybody did that right. They celebrated the 100th anniversary of the opening of Memorial Stadium there in Champaign. And the opening game, the dedication game, in which Red Grange ran wild over the Michigan Wolverines, scoring 6 touchdowns back in 1924. Loved the uniforms Illinois wore. Loved the helmets. They had that old leather helmet look. It really looked cool on television. Even the CBS crew was in it at the beginning, dressed like old 1920s radio announcers and had old microphones and all that. I thought everybody did a really good job with that. The first play of the game, the Illini threw a pass to Talmadge High School grad Colin Dixon, caught it for a 9-yard gain, and it went forward from there for the Illini. They popped the Wolverines. Honored Red Grange by doing so. And in doing that, they pretty much eliminated the defending national champs with an asterisk from any playoff talk this year. The Wolverines are now 4-3. They struggle to score the ball. And I don't know. I'm not looking at their schedule, but I do know who they play in the last week of the regular season. So more losses to come for them, I think. Illinois, one loss. They're ranked. They have a tough one this week, as we'll talk about here, where they're going out west to Eugene, Oregon this coming week. that's a big game now for them, though. They're getting to play some really big games. They played the 3:30 CBS game this week. That's great for the Illinois program and for the guy we lovingly called Bert, Brett Bielema. So good for them. In the SEC, a couple of really interesting games this past week. Is it time for the natives to bring out the pitchforks and torches in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Boy, it's getting close, isn't it? A good Missouri team comes to town this week after Alabama has dropped two of their last three games, both SEC games. They lost to Tennessee at Tennessee this past weekend. Kalen DeBoer, the new Alabama coach, as if he had enough, as if he didn't have enough to measure up to after Nick Saban left, now has to really kind of pull the season out of the fire, and it won't be easy. That's a very good Missouri team, as we said, coming into Tuscaloosa. There's going to be a lot of angst in Bryant-Denny Stadium this coming Saturday. Hook 'em? Well, not this week, folks. Georgia went into Austin, Texas, and caused some SEC chaos. There are no undefeated teams left in SEC league play, and we have, what, five or six games to go, depending on which team you're talking about. It's really anybody's game. Well, it'd be fascinating to see how these last few games play out in the SEC and see which two teams actually make it to Atlanta to the championship game. A couple of coaching notes here. I think USC coach Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma coach Brent Venables, very big names, are kind of on the edge right now in terms of their employment. Lincoln Riley's USC team lost at Maryland in another fourth quarter blow up, 29-28. And Oklahoma was smashed in Norman by the South Carolina Gamecocks, 35-9. Those guys, I hate talking about people losing their jobs. But they're very well paid, and those are very high-profile jobs in those states. And those two gentlemen seem to be on the edge of unemployment, it seems like. We'll see if they can turn it around here late in the season, but it's not looking good for them. All right, I promised to look at undefeated teams and biggest disappointments, so we'll do that at this point in time. Here are the undefeated Power Four teams left by conference. In the SEC, as we mentioned, that'd be nobody. Everybody has at least one blemish on their record. In the Big Ten, we have Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana, all three undefeated. None of them play each other on the way out here to close the season out. There are no games from amongst those three teams. They all have some interesting games, as we know, but they don't play each other. So that's intriguing, I'd say. In the ACC, only one left standing. That's the Miami Hurricanes, who've given up 117 points in the last three games and won them all. Somehow they survived. They won 52-45 at Louisville this past weekend. I don't know how much longer you can sustain that, but they are the last undefeated standing left in the ACC. In the Big 12, we have BYU, the previously mentioned Cougars, and the Iowa State Cyclones, who came from behind with a great comeback and won at home against UCF Saturday night. Those two teams do not play each other the remainder of the season. So is it possible we could have two undefeateds meeting for the Big 12 title in Arlington? Yeah, we could. We'll see how that plays out. I went through also in those big Power Four conferences and put down who I thought was the biggest disappointment in each conference. Let's see if you agree. In the SEC, I've got Oklahoma. They're just not playing very well right now. They've been blitzed the last 2 weeks. They're 4-3 overall, but 1-3 in the SEC in their inaugural season in the SEC. So that's not really up to snuff there for the natives in Norman. In the Big Ten, the aforementioned USC Trojans are 3-4, 1-4 in their Big Ten inaugural season. That's not going very well for Lincoln Riley and his crew. In the ACC, it's obvious. It's been obvious since the beginning of the season. The Florida State Seminoles, are a disaster right now. They are 1-6, 1-5 in the conference. They make mistake after mistake. It's got to be so frustrating for the coaching staff and the players. They can't get out of their own way, it seems. And that was an easy choice as the biggest disappointment in the ACC. I think North Carolina is a big disappointment, but they weren't in the top 10 to, you know, to open the season like Florida State was. In the Big 12, it's got to be a surprising entry, the Utah Utes. The normally steady men of Kyle Whittingham are 4-3, but 1-3 in the league. They've lost their last three games in their new league, the Big 12. The quarterback situation, you know, with Cam Rising out for the season again, it looks like Wilson will be the quarterback moving forward, the freshman. He had played well in a couple of games, other, but they can't score right now. And that's a problem. Utah, I thought, would probably make it to the Big 12 championship game. That's probably not going to happen, and they need to save their season here coming up. They could save their season in a couple of weeks by beating BYU, that's for sure. But so far, not so good for the Utes. Another question. I got a question for all of you. Can Washington State make the playoff? Washington State, if you remember, a longtime member of the Pac-12, Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, whichever version you want to mention, the league left them. Washington State and Oregon State are the only two left from the Pac-12. They still have the name and the, you know, the infrastructure of a major conference, but there's only two of them. No automatic bid for those two teams. Washington State is currently 6-1. Their only loss was a loss to Boise State at Boise, which no one would hold that terribly against them, I think, come selection time. They have a very manageable schedule, I believe, moving forward. Their last five games, I've written them down here. This coming weekend, they're at San Diego State, who's 3-3. Following week, they host the 1-6 Utah State Aggies. In their third game of the five, they will be at New Mexico, 3-4, but they've won their last three games, so they're playing pretty well. That one might be a challenge. Then they play Oregon State at Oregon State, at Corvallis. Our Oregon State's 4-3. That'll be kind of like a rivalry game for them, if you will. And then if they survive those four, their last game is at home against 1-6 Wyoming, the Cowboys. There's a possibility. I don't know what the odds are. I don't look at that stuff that much. But there's a possibility that the Washington State Cougars could be 11-1 standing there at the end of the regular season. No league championship game. Remember, there's only two teams in the league. Would they get an at-large bid at 11-1? That's a fascinating question. We'll see. Of course, if they drop one here, I think it's a moot point. But that's a doable thing. They could win those five games. Interesting to watch that moving forward. Okay, for week 9, looking ahead here, which begins here in a couple of days. First of all, let's take a look at local teams and what they'll be doing in week 9. In the MAC, Eastern Michigan will play at Akron. Kent State will travel to Kalamazoo to play the Western Michigan Broncos. And as we mentioned previously, Nebraska will be visiting Columbus to play the Ohio State Buckeyes. Our other big games I picked, I jotted down a bunch of them this week. On Friday night, Boise State is at UNLV. Now, that's a rematch of last year's Mountain West Championship game, which was played in Las Vegas, won by Boise State. Boise State will probably be favored, but UNLV is a very good team. That ought to be a really interesting game Friday night. That will certainly shape what the Mountain West Championship game will look like, if nothing else. Other games of note, Southern Methodist, playing well in their first year in the ACC, will be at Duke. Duke is one of the surprise teams. They're kind of flying under the radar. They've only lost one game so far this year. SMU at Duke is suddenly a big game in something other than basketball. Notre Dame will play Navy at a neutral site this weekend. I think East Rutherford is where that's going to be played. Notre Dame versus Navy, a traditional rivalry. They've played almost 100 times. Notre Dame's won 80 of them. Navy has knocked them off here about three times in the last 15 years. Again, Navy's undefeated. Notre Dame with one loss, that loss to Northern Illinois. That should be a really good football game. Here in Ohio, we have the Battle of I-75. Bowling Green will travel up the 25 miles up I-75 to the Glass Bowl to play the Toledo Rockets. That's a rivalry. If you've never, from around here, that's a pretty fierce rivalry right there. Louisiana State, LSU, will play at Texas A&M. That should be an interesting game, big game in the SEC there. And Illinois will travel out to Eugene and play the Oregon Ducks. That will be a ranked on ranked. Oregon is number one now. And so Illinois will go out there with a chance to pull the upset. So there's some really, really big games shaping up for week nine here as we move forward. All right, now we move to our prediction segment. Our week eight picks, we were 17 wins, 12 losses, and a tie going in. We picked Nebraska at Indiana. Indiana giving 6.5 points. They'd have had to give in 60 practically. Missed that one badly. I picked Tennessee +2.5 against Alabama. Boom, they win it and cover. That was a win for us. I picked Texas -3.5 at home against Georgia. That didn't pan out very well. People were throwing bottles on the field. It didn't pan out so well. So we lost that one. And I went with Georgia Tech, not knowing that their quarterback was going to miss the game. That's my excuse. They were getting 11.5 points, and they lost by 18 against Notre Dame. So we lost that one. It was a 1-3 week. It broke our string of winning or 500 weeks that we've had here. Our record for the season here at the fifth quarter is now 18 wins, 15 losses, and a tie, picking games with the spread. So week nine, I've jotted down four here, and we'll make the picks on the fly. Illinois at Oregon. Oregon getting 21.5 points, giving 21.5 points to the Illini out in Eugene. Oregon's on a roll. I'm gonna take that. Even giving 21.5 points, I'll take Oregon there. My heart will say Illinois, but my head says Oregon. Florida State at Miami, a big rivalry game, has lost a lot of its luster, but it's a big game for Miami, and they've been giving up a lot of points. Miami is a 19.5 point favorite over Florida State. I'm going to take the Seminoles to make it a little closer than that. Don't think they'll win, but I think they can make it closer. Missouri is at Alabama. Another big game, and that's a really big game for Kalen DeBoer, as we said previously. Alabama, a 13.5 point favorite on Nick Saban Field against the Missouri Tigers. Will they rebound? Do they have it in them? I'm going to say yes. I'll take Alabama. Finally, Notre Dame and Navy. Navy getting 14 points at a neutral site against the Fighting Irish. Now, my dad served in the Navy during World War II, and I was brought up watching the Army-Navy game on ABC in the 60s and early 70s and cheering along with the rest of my family for the midshipmen against the Black Knights. We certainly would cheer for them if they were playing Notre Dame. There's no doubt about that. So you know what? I'm going to take Navy getting 14 against the Fighting Irish. So again, we'll take the Ducks. We'll take Florida State to make it a little closer than people think. We'll take Alabama to rebound, and we'll take Navy. Okay, we'll see how those goes. We'll tally them up and tell you next week how we did. That'll do it for another episode of the fifth quarter. The season is really rolling along quickly. It's unbelievable that we're at week nine already. Once again, thanks for choosing us out there. A lot of podcasts you could listen to about college football. We're thrilled that you picked us. Hopefully you tell a friend about us. Also, you can tell your friends about the other podcast that we do here, our weekly roundup of everything then and now. So if you're looking for something to listen to for a half an hour or so, take a chance on then and now. If you have a comment or question, send it to us at the email address, threegoodquestions@gmail.com. Again, thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. We're the fifth quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. Hope your favorite team does well this coming weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.